All right, joining us right now on the Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline is our guy, Mike Florio. Make sure you go out there, still out there. Go out there and check out his book at Amazon.com. Make sure you order it, Playmakers, How the NFL Really Works and Doesn't. So go ahead and check this check that out, man. This is we could not have set up a better day to have you on. A once a full time lawyer can help us out with some of this stuff as we kind of hit a point where it felt like the Deshaun Watson stuff had kind of slowed and simmered and wasn't as loud. It has been very, very loud in the last couple of weeks, and I think the first thing that maybe our audience wants to know from your thoughts, Mike, is the Texans now being included in this lawsuit from Tony Busby, the attorney of the women filing a lawsuit against Deshaun Watson. What does this mean for the Texans going forward?
Well, it means they're going to spend a lot of money at $400, $500, $600 an hour, or whatever the rate is for the law firm that they hire to defend themselves against the claims that apparently are coming. And it really doesn't shock me. And I think it was masterful by Tony Busby to wait to issue his statement until after the New York Times article, laying the foundation for the idea that the Texans knew or should have known and then failed to do something to protect these individuals from whatever Deshaun Watson was doing. Because if he had just dropped that statement out of the blue, I think some people would have said, well, that's just lawyer being lawyer and who really knows and yada, yada. Once it comes a day after the New York Times gives credibility to the idea that maybe the Texans, and enabled was the word that was used in the headline of the Times article, once that's out there, it just has a different feel to it. So Busby has been very good about working the media, about winning in the court of public opinion. And really, it all comes down to, and if this is true, and this is information that came from deposition transcripts in the case, if Deshaun Watson saw a threat from one of the women who ended up suing him, and it was the woman who sued him with the 23rd lawsuit to expose him, and he went to the director of security of the Texans, and the response wasn't, hey, Deshaun, what's really going on here? What are you up to? What are you doing? What maybe should you not be doing? What should the director of security be doing to neutralize a situation that may not lead anywhere good? Instead of that, he gives him a non-disclosure agreement to use, ostensibly in these massages he was getting. That just paints a very troubling picture for the Texans. I don't know that it leads to actual liability, but it puts the Texans in a position where they're going to have to spend a lot of time and money and effort trying to prove that they don't have any responsibility here.
You mentioned how Tony Busby is doing kind of a masterful job of laying out the various lawsuits that he's willing out there, and then the fact that he's adding the Houston Texans to the lawsuit apparently in the very near future. How likely do you think, and just based off of what he's put out there before, how likely do you think it is that he ends up adding the NFL as well? Because he left that kind of, he said the Houston Texans, amongst other things, are going to be added to the lawsuit, or joined to the lawsuit was the term he used. How likely do you think the NFL is to eventually find themselves a defendant in this lawsuit? And how does that affect, if anyway, does that affect any potential consequences or decisions on Deshaun Watson's punishment at the end of their investigation?
That's a great point. Let me start by saying that the Texans already are part of the NFL, that for all of the punishment that we've seen imposed on players for off-field, off-duty, off-season misconduct, there's never been a guy who did something, whether it was Ray Rice, Ezekiel Elliott, Michael Vick, whoever, that somehow pulled an NFL team into the realm of potential civil liability. So it's already unprecedented. I don't know of any legal theory that could be asserted against the NFL. What would the responsibility be of the league? Where would the evidence be that the league itself knew or should have known that something was going on here? I think that's more of a stretch. And the claims against the Texans, I think, are going to be susceptible to a very persuasive argument, depending upon the evidence that's generated, that the Texans have no legal duty, that Texas law, and I haven't researched Texas law on this point, but if I were representing the Texans, I would immediately research Texas law on the question of what it takes to acquire a civil duty to protect someone against criminal behavior who really doesn't have any relationship with you. These people aren't employed by the Texans. These are strangers to the organization. At what point do you have a duty to protect people who have no connection to your team in any way, shape, or form from criminal misconduct engaged in by someone else? And I assume different states have different standards there. And if I'm the Texans, one of my arguments may very well be, loudly and clearly from the get-go, whatever Deshaun Watson did, that's on him. He's responsible for it, not us.
And that will play. Like, that is something that can play in terms of that being their stance.
Yeah, and they got two ways they can go. And if he was still playing for the Texans, they'd probably more be inclined to say Deshaun Watson didn't do anything wrong, and we're going to support Deshaun Watson in his effort to prove he didn't do anything wrong, because if he didn't do anything wrong, then we got nothing to worry about. But since he doesn't play for them anymore, the idea of a united front among multiple defendants goes out the window. And back when I practiced law, if you had a case where there was a plaintiff who sued multiple different parties, it was in the best interest of all parties for the defendants to work together, because if they started fighting with each other and pointing fingers at each other, they were guaranteed that one of them was going to end up on the wrong side of a verdict. And the Texans very well could be inclined, especially the way everything went down in 2021 and the trade and just everything that goes into it, they could be very inclined to not try to help Deshaun Watson at all and just say, we have no responsibility at all for anything that this guy did. And if he did it, it was misconduct and it's on him, and we're not going to try to help him. We're not going to defend him. We're just going to tell the jury, blame him, not us.
Mike Florio here with us, Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports, joins us on the Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline. And man, as we're sitting here, and like I said, it's gotten hot the last couple weeks here with Deshaun, from comments from Rusty Harden right here on Sports Radio 610 with our morning show, Payne and Pendergast, and to the Real Sports HBO special, and now the New York Times article, and then Tony Busby coming out yesterday. Are we to a point where the league has to potentially sit him down and maybe revisit the commissioner's exempt list?
Well, I believe they are. And the commissioner said in late March at the press conference held at the conclusion of the league meetings in Florida that basically, I'm paraphrasing, but his message was paid leave isn't an option. If I'm going to do anything at this point, I would just suspend him. And on Monday after the 24th lawsuit was filed, and then on Tuesday after the New York Times article was released and I read it, I asked the NFL, and I was more pointed the second time, but the gist of the question is this: do the comments made by the commissioner back in late March still apply? Does his position still stand that paid leave isn't an option? And they declined comment both times. And I guess you can interpret that however you want, but my reaction was, how hard is it to say the commissioner said what he said and there's no reason for that to change? The reality is the circumstances have changed since late March. And when you look at the personal conduct policy, paid leave, when we're talking about a situation where there isn't a criminal charge that activates it, because if there's a felony charge or a sex offense, a criminal charge that attaches, that puts the player in position where he's going to be facing prosecution, that's when paid leave is more easily triggered. But there's another way to get there if the commissioner believes, based upon the circumstances and the evidence, and circumstances is the key word, and the evidence that there was a violation and the paid leave is the right thing to do, then that's what happens. And I think here the circumstances are such that paid leave makes sense. 24 cases, two of them just filed, a sense that we don't know how many more are going to be filed, an NFL team dragged to the table to defend itself as part of this, and the idea that with 24 cases, these are not going to be easy to try. You don't just say, we're going to do one case after another and we're going to be done in 3 or 4 weeks. They're going to take at least a week each. And Rusty Harden said something on your station last week about the possibility that they could take months, depending upon how and whether Tony Busby is allowed to introduce evidence of other allegations in each of the individual cases to prove state of mind or whatever the case may be, it makes the cases longer. I think it makes a ton of sense at this point to just put him on paid leave and tell him, instead of the litigation going dark from August 1 to March 1, you've got all of football season to get this taken care of. And if necessary, all of next football season. And frankly, I believe if he was put on paid leave, he'd probably settle the cases pretty quickly, because he was very motivated to settle them last year when the Dolphins were ready to trade for him, because it meant he could play football. If the impediment to him playing was the existence of these cases, even though it would be probably a lot more expensive than the $100,000 that supposedly was offered to each individual last October, I think he would do whatever he had to do to settle the cases and move on.
Would you consider – okay, that was kind of a bomb there that you just dropped right there. As far as him settling these cases, do you think that the NFL or the Houston Texans or any type of – because of the amount of pressure and because of the amount of scrutiny that these extra lawsuits coming out in New York Times articles, do you think there's pressure from any of these outside entities for Deshaun to go ahead and settle the cases? I know it was reported by Rusty Harden that the Miami Dolphins wanted the cases settled before they made a trade with them. It fell through because not all of the accusers agreed to the terms of the settlement. Is there a chance that that's going on behind the scenes, that this all this pressure that's coming from all these different directions is going to force Deshaun to settle?
Well, I don't know how much pressure is directly or would be coming directly from the league for him to settle the case. At a certain point, I think the league's attitude very well could be it's for him to figure out what he needs to do. But the league has to make some decisions sooner than later. And in the aftermath of the HBO feature on this issue 12 days ago, we were approaching Memorial Day weekend, and my position was very simple. If they're going to initiate this three-step process of suspending Deshaun Watson without pay, where you propose a punishment, the disciplinary officer steps in, does her investigation, holds a hearing, issues a decision, and then the commissioner has appeal jurisdiction. If they're going to start that, let's start it now. Let's bury into the bad news dump on Memorial Day weekend what the proposed punishment is. But if they had done that, look at all the developments since then with lawsuit number 23, with Rusty's unfortunate, in my opinion, effort to normalize having massages become sexual encounters, something he said at the tail end of the interview on your station 6 days ago, the 24th lawsuit, the New York Times article, the joining supposedly eventually of the Texans, that just changes the vibe. At some point, they've got to decide what to do, though. And that time has to be coming. Rusty Harden said himself they expect to hear something in June. So whether it's paid leave, which would put, I believe, maximum pressure on him to settle the cases, or some sort of a suspension, which activates a process that becomes his focal point until that process ends, because Rusty Harden is going to try to use those grand jury findings, the outcome, the decision not to indict him, to support a decision to not punish him at all, which I think is an illogical argument, but he's going to do that. That becomes the focal point then. So I just think the more I look at this and the more I think about it, even though no one may be pressuring him to settle the cases, the sooner he settles the cases, the sooner that his life becomes uncomplicated as it relates to what the NFL is going to do. And that's why I believe if they put him on paid leave, that would be that last straw, that thing that gave him the impetus to just open the checkbook and do whatever he had to do to resolve these cases.
Looking at it from the Cleveland Browns perspective, what would have to happen for the Browns to void the contract with Deshaun Watson? Is there anything, do they have any type of recourse of anything that could happen in order for them to get out of the contract with Deshaun Watson?
Well, back when they introduced Deshaun Watson at a press conference in late March, Andrew Berry, the GM of the Browns, said that there's standard protection in the contract in the event of a suspension, and that's just incorrect. There is protection, but there's an exception specifically for suspension in 2022 or 2023 for matters that are contained within a side letter that isn't part of his contract. And the contents of that side letter become critical, especially since the 24th lawsuit was filed by somebody whose name they hadn't previously heard. And it all comes down to how they negotiated that that extra addendum to the contract? Is it broad enough to encompass people who may sue that they don't know about? If it isn't, then this 24th lawsuit, if a suspension arises because of that, the guarantees could be voided. A forfeiture could be declared. And also, if there is an unpaid suspension in 2024, not 2022 or 2023, those are the only 2 years that are covered by the exception. If this lingers and he's suspended at all in 2024, then the protections kick in. So, look, that ends up being a huge mess for the Browns, and it's a nightmare if they're ever in that position where they're thinking about what they're going to do about a suspension in 2024. They've already made the commitment of $230 million, and who knows what they're going to be able to avoid at this point. But, you know, I think that if they had to do it all over again, they probably would not have jumped so zealously into the pursuit of Deshaun Watson. And once they were eliminated from the four-team competition, they probably wouldn't have said, well, let's make him an offer he can't refuse of $230 million fully guaranteed over 5 years.
Before we get you out of here, Mike, we thank you for your time. You talked about suspension possibly there. Real quick, how long do you think this could potentially be? We haven't seen precedent for the situation. I look at baseball and see what they did with Trevor Bauer, and I wouldn't think the NFL would go 2 years. But how many games are you thinking?
Well, the Trevor Bauer punishment is very relevant for one important reason. And people say, well, these are different cases or different allegations, and they are. And the Trevor Bauer allegations are, and the facts are graphic and disturbing, but the common thread between the two cases is that we're talking about consent and the extent to which consent may have been violated by a professional athlete. And when Trevor Bauer got suspended 2 years, I did not see any type of dramatic blowback by the media that Major League Baseball had in some over-the-top way crossed the line with its punishment. So that becomes important, I think, to what the expectations are for the punishment of Deshaun Watson and what it would take for an outcry from people who say, well, the guy wasn't criminally charged, but how can you suspend him X number of games? And remember 2014, Ray Rice, the two-game suspension that was imposed on him in July. The commissioner goes to the Hall of Fame weekend. He's besieged by cameras and microphones because the perception was they didn't suspend him enough. And that was before the video came out. When the video came out the Monday after the first Sunday of the regular season, the commissioner literally went to bed, I would say, 10 straight nights thinking tomorrow is the day that I could lose my job. That's how bad it was. All because he was deemed to be too lenient with Ray Rice. So I think he vowed then and there to never be deemed to be too lenient with anyone in a situation like this, especially when it deals with violence against a female. So I'm not reporting. I'm not predicting. This is just kind of guessing. This is kind of gut feeling. I was already thinking a 1 year suspension before the events of the past 8 or 9 days. Now I'm thinking paid leave followed by a 1 year suspension. And the length of the paid leave is going to depend upon how long these cases linger. It could be a year of paid leave, and then it could be a one-year suspension after that. It could be 2 years of paid leave. If he is bound and determined that he's going to fight every one of these cases in an effort to restore his good name, which at this point I believe is unrestorable, given how long this has lasted and how many people have made these accusations. But if he's committed and determined to fight every case and win every case, then it's 2 years of paid leave and maybe a suspension on the back end. Because here's the thing. Even if he wins all those cases, think about everything we're going to learn the next 2 years as these cases are tried. Is that going to make it more troubling or less troubling from the NFL's perspective, even if he wins a jury verdict in every case? It could be 2 years paid leave and a year of unpaid leave after that. It's way too early to know. And I think that's the biggest problem. We're 15 months into this thing now, and we still aren't even in a position where we can get our arms around where this is going for Deshaun Watson.